الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mercy and in His generosity, in His kindness, Allah ta'ala has created each and every one of us as human beings. And Allah ta'ala has given us the gift of Iman and the gift of Islam. And when He sent the Quran, in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed certain du'as using certain of His names, certain of His attributes, so that we can use those du'as as a way to know Him, so that we can draw close to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in the Quran in certain ways using certain of His infinite names. And these names are there, these du'as are there, through which we can draw close to Him. So there are many du'as and many names of Allah ta'ala in the Quran. There's one very special du'a that we want to look at today, which is a du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Mu'minun, the last ayah of this surah. وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. This du'a begins with the first name, which is a very special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Rabb. The word Rabb comes many places in the Quran. Now if you look at this, it's a very short word composed of two letters, Ra and Ba. But the scholars have written that if a person can understand the deep meaning of this word Rabb, and then he or she can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, view Allah ta'ala as her Rabb, then they will begin to have a deep and loving relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does the word Rabb mean? Understand this from a worldly example. In Arabic language, Rabb simply means that being that nurtures and nourishes and sustains and raises up something from the moment it is born till the moment it reaches perfection. So Rabb means that being who nurtures and raises up anything. So we can understand this from a very mundane example, that of a gardener. If a person wants to plant something, he takes a seed, places it under the ground, and once he has made that intention to grow a particular plant, even though nobody else can see that seed under the ground, because he placed that seed there, he knows it's still there. He has to take care of it. He has to provide for that plant. And he makes sure that the area of that ground is watered. He makes sure that the soil is fertile. He puts certain fertilizers on that soil. And after his care, sooner or later, eventually, that seed begins to grow. And eventually a small plant, a seedling begins to emerge from the ground. When the gardener sees that small plant emerging, the gardener doesn't stop there. He keeps watering. He might put it inside a pot so that it can get the sunlight, put it under the shade. And as it continues to grow, the gardener will trim the dead leaves, will make sure that there are no rot or diseases, keep away all the weeds from that plant. He will keep on caring for that plant until finally it becomes a fully self-sufficient tree. So the gardener is actually the Rabb of that plant, because he has nurtured, sustained that plant, provided for everything that plant needs from the moment that plant begins to grow until it reaches perfection. To give you another example, our parents are also a form of Rabb, in the sense that when their children are born, They provide for each and everything that their child needs. When a baby is born, you see, it can't do anything on its own, not able to drink on its own, eat on its own. It can't even turn around on its own. So each and everything, the parents have to do it for that baby. The mother, she is responsible for her needs, and the father, he goes out to earn for the baby to attend to his needs. One of our teachers used to say that, "Oh person, when you used to cry like a baby, Allah Ta'ala used to fulfill every one of your needs. And now that you have stopped crying, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has also stopped fulfilling your needs." So in Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has addressed the parents as our Rabb. All of you know that very famous dua, Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. That, oh our Lord, have mercy on our two parents as they were my Rabb, as they did my tarbiyah, they took care of me, nurtured me when I was young. So the Mufassirin, they have mentioned that whenever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala uses this word Rabb for himself, and he also uses this word for the creation, there must be some difference. And there are two differences here. Number one, parents are only Rabb of their own children, whereas Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he's the Rabb of the entire creation, the entire makhluk. Allah Ta'ala sustains and nurtures each and every human being, each and every animal, each and every plant, each and every species, animate, inanimate, everything. Whereas our parents, they only nurture, they only provide for a limited number of children. And the second difference is that the parents are our Rabb for a temporary period of time, not forever. They provide for their children's needs, then their children grow up, eventually they get married, they become adults. And then at that stage, the parents, they no longer need to nurture their child. In fact, sometimes the parents, rather than being the Rabb, now the kids have to take care of the parents. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his rububiyah, his nurturing of humanity and creation is not temporary. It's complete. It's eternal. It's from the moment we are born, in fact, even before that, all the way till we die, for each and every second of our life, every breath that we take, it is only through the fazl, the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now this word, Rabb, this is the purpose of our life on this earth is actually to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb. And that is why, you see, before we were even born, when Allah ta'ala created our ruh, Allah ta'ala asked them a question, Alastu bi rabbikum. The first question, the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed humanity was with this word, Rabb. Am I not your Lord? Am I not your Rabb? And then all of us, we replied and said, Qalu bala, that indeed you are our Rabb. So Allah, the first time he ever addressed humanity, the first question he ever asked from us, the first pledge he took from us was, am I not your Rabb? And then all the souls, they replied and testified that Allah, truly you alone are our Rabb. You are our cherisher, our sustainer, our nourisher. You are the one who has given us everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent us to this earth to see if we would fulfill our promise, to see if we would be true to our pledge. And would we live our life here as if Allah is our Rabb? And that's what normally happens, that a person, they begin to forget that Allah is their Rabb. When they grow up, when they start running their own lives, managing their lives, running their own household, they forget that I'm apparently doing all of this, but it's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's providing for all my needs. He is my Rabb. The man might think that it's my company that's providing everything to me, or my store, or my factory. His boss is giving him rizq. Certainly, that's a sabab. But we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who's behind the means, behind the sabab. So we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb. And now, to show how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us because of being our Rabb, one thing you would have noticed, that a woman, she has love for children in general, but She has a very special love for her own kid that is much more than the general love that she has for other kids. And what is the reason? The reason is that she is the rub of her kids, because she has raised up her kids from the moment they are born till they become adults. She has put in so much time, energy, efforts, investment, affection, hopes. She's the rub of her kids. And that's why she's attached to them. She has a very special love for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way, has a very special love for the mu'mineen. Just like the mother, she loves their children because she's their rub. Now imagine how much Allah ta'ala must love his human beings, that he is our rub. And that's why Allah says in Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَّحِيمٌ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bin nasi, with all of humanity, Allah is the Rabb of all the alameen, all of the people. And with every single human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf and Rahim. He is kind and he is generous, he is soft, he is merciful, and he is also forgiving. Why? Because he is our Rabb. He created us, he nurtured us, because he has given us everything from the moment we were born. So just like a mother, she is soft to her own children. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the Rabb, is also very soft and kind and very forgiving and merciful to each and every human being. So this ayah that I recited at the beginning, it's a very important ayah and a very important dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. That kul means that Allah is addressing the beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying that, oh my beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell the people to make this dua to me. To make dua to me as follows, Rabbi ghafir warham. It's such a short dua, but it's a very powerful dua. Now there are three words in this dua. The first is Rabb, which we have already explained to you, which means that you, the nurturer, the being that raises you up. And if you look in the Quran, we see that this word Rabb has come almost on every page. Anyone who reads Quran regularly, you will find that Allah Ta'ala is always referring to him as Rabb. Even the very first line of the very first surah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alami, and the very last line of the very last surah, not the last line, but the last surah, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas. So many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to himself as our Rabb. In our salah, we begin our qiyam, we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In ruku, we say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. In sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allah ta'ala could have chosen any word, but he chose the word Rabb to be used most in the Quran, to be used most in our salah, and then even in the dua. Over and over again, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that use the word Rabb. The Anbiya, the Prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the du'as that are mentioned in the Quran. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he used the word Rabb. Rabbana dhalamna anfusana. The first human being, the first prophet, the first du'a, the first istighfar, the first tawbah that was ever made was also made with the word Rabb. Not with Malik or Khalik. Not with any other word, but this word, which is Rabb. The question is that why? Why? And the scholars have explained this in a very beautiful manner. They say that this is not just coincidence. There's a very special reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to use this word Rabb in our dua in the Quran. And that is the purpose of this whole preface that I just spoke to you. Now listen to this very carefully. Just take example of a mother. That when a son calls to her, if he just calls to her and says that, oh, I need this, or get me that, or oh, I want to do this, or oh, buy me that, then the mother, she's not going to be responsive. Whatever the child, you know, whenever the child, son or daughter, they call on their mother and say, they don't take the name, but they say, oh, mom. Or if they say, oh, mother. Ya, ummi. Oh, ummi. Now, when the mother, she hears this, all the mother has to do is hear her being called in such a manner, and she will go and rush to her child. If she is across the house in the middle of taking the meal and she hears from the distant corner of the house, mummy or mama or ammi or ummi, that's all she needs to hear, and she will get up, even leave the food unfinished. She doesn't know what the child wants. She doesn't even know what the child needs. She doesn't know what the child is asking. She doesn't even know if the child is being naughty with her. All she needs is to hear herself being called a mother, and she races to her child. If it's the middle of the night and she's sleeping, and she hears a cry from across the hall that, oh, mama or mother, ammi, all she needs to hear is those words, and she will even shun her bed, her sleep, and go attend to her child's needs. Why? Because when the child calls upon his or her mother by using her name, when the child invokes the motherhood of the mother, then the mother, her heart melts. Her heart melts, and she just inclines to do whatever her child wants. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that, O my servants, when you call upon me, call me with my name, Rabb. Because I am your Rabb, I've nurtured you, I've raised you up, I've given you everything you have in your life. When you turn to me in dua, and when you acknowledge me as your Rabb, then just like the mother, her heart melts. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy also inclines and rushes towards us. Allah ta'ala feels generous and kind towards us when we call him using the word Rabb. So this is the reason that Allah ta'ala has taught us in the Quran over and over, that when we make dua to him, call upon him with the word Rabb. And perhaps maybe only a mother can really and truly appreciate the secret and the treasure of this word Rabb then. Then the next word in this dua is Rabbi Ighfir. Ighfir means simply that, oh Allah, forgive me for my sin. Allah, I'm sorry. Colloquial English, oh Allah, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sin. Overlook my mistake. I'm sorry for what I did. I will never do it again. I made a mistake. I made an error. Please erase it from the book of my deeds. Please erase it from the memory of the angels who wrote down that sin. Allah, please erase it even from the memory of that organ that committed that sin. Oh Allah, erase the record of that sin from the piece of earth on which I sinned. Ighfir. Oh Allah, forgive me. I was not worthy of being forgiven. I broke your rule. I broke your command. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. I looked at something which I shouldn't have looked at. Oh Allah, please forgive me. Ighfir. Allah, I'm sad. I repent. I have guilt. I have remorse over what I've done. Ighfir. Allah, forgive me for my sins. Very beautiful. Now, this dua could have been enough for us. It could have stopped right here. We could have been taught to recite Rabbi Ighfir, that, oh, my generous Lord, my kind and merciful Lord, my Rabb, forgive me for my sin. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to add another word in this dua and say Warham. Rabbi Ighfir Warham. And again, the scholars have explained this, and they say that there is a beautiful secret, a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has added this second word, Warham. And it is because that, again, imagine a woman, a wife. She gets her husband angry with something, and so she knows that she made a mistake. And she goes to her husband and she asks him to forgive her. So she goes to him and says that, oh, my husband, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done what I did. And I promise I'll never do it again. Please forgive me. And if the husband looks at her and his face shows no expression and he remains silent and he says to her that, okay, you are forgiven, you can go. Now, the woman, she will sit there and she will listen that he said it very briefly and perhaps very curtly, maybe even sternly, that, okay, you're forgiven, you can go. So that won't be enough for that woman. She will not going to be happy with that. She's going to keep asking with her husband until he smiles at her, until he becomes happy at her, until she feels that everything is back to the way it was. until she feels that everything is now fine between them. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us to make dua in the Quran, Rabbi ghafir warham. That, oh Allah, forgive me for the sins that I did. I made a mistake. I was wrong. I promise never to do this again. Ighfir, forgive me. But then warham. Oh Allah, be pleased with me again. Be happy with me again. Give me one glance of your mercy. Give me one glance of your love so that I know inside my heart that everything is okay again. Send your mercy upon me. Send your smile upon me so that I know everything is okay again. Whatever distance that has come between me and you, Allah, remove that distance. Warham. Just like the wife, she's not totally content with that token forgiveness of her husband. She wants to patch up with him. Just like that, when a believing servant, when he sins against Allah, not only does he want Allah to forgive his sins, but he also wants Allah Ta'ala to be happy with him once again, to be pleased with him. He wants Allah to restore the ibadah that he is not going to do, that he was not doing because of his sins. He wants Allah to restore the feelings that he had in his ibadah. Maybe he lost those feelings because of his sins. He wants Allah to restore his relationship with him. He wants Allah to come back into his life. He wants Allah to remove that distance. And our scholars have written that when a person makes such a dua, Rabbi ghafir warham, Allah then showers his mercy upon that person in infinite ways. But there are four very special ways, you know, in reality, there are infinite ways that Allah sends his rahmah. But there are four very special ways in which we can think about this word warham, in which Allah sends his rahmah upon the hearts of human beings. So the first way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person istiqamat on their iman. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the iman. Allah ta'ala gives that person the ability to stay away from sin. So when we say, Rabbi ghafir, oh Allah, I fell into this sin, please forgive me for that sin. And then you add warham, that Allah, out of your mercy, keep me even away from doing that sin. Allah, keep me away from the gatherings of sin. Keep me away from the people who invite me towards sin. Keep me away from those thoughts that invite me towards sin, from those whisperings of shaitan and nafs. Warham. Allah, grant me istiqama on my iman. Make me firm in my deen. Keep me away from that environment that leads me towards sin. So that is one way you can understand that Allah Ta'ala, through his mercy, he first forgives that sin, but then also grants that person the ability to stay away from that sin. Allah gives them steadfastness, istiqamah, on the deen. Second, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rahmah on that person, he gives them the ability to make a new ibadah. So for example, if that person was finding it difficult to wake up for Fajr, now when he makes dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, Rabbi ghafir, Allah, I'm weak, I missed my Fajr, Allah, please forgive my sin. And then after that, warham, that Allah, also through your mercy, grant me the ability to wake up. So when Allah sends his rahmah on someone, Allah will give the ability to increase in that ibadah. If that person prays, does not pray 5 times every day, then when a person makes that dua, Allah showers his rahmah, Allah will give tawfiq to that person to pray 5 times. If that person prays 5 times already, Allah will give the tawfiq to increase in their salah, to pray tahajjud or nafil. If that person finds it difficult to fit the recitation of Quran in their schedule, through his rahmah, Allah can put so much mercy that he will have time to read Quran. If he doesn't have the time to make dua to Allah Ta'ala from the depth of his heart, Allah will expand time for him, give him time. So second understanding is of this dua, that Allah Ta'ala, through his mercy, will give tawfiq to increase in worship, to make newer and newer ibadah, to increase in the quality of our worship, to increase in the quantity of our worship. Warham. And number three, Allah Ta'ala, He removes all the worries. That sometimes these difficulties that happen in our life because of our sins. So when we make dua to Allah, Rabbi ghafir, oh Allah, forgive me for my sins that I've done. And then we add warham, that Allah, whatever tension and stress and issues and problems and difficulties that are in my life because of my sins, Allah warham, out of your mercy, Allah, remove those worries. Allah, send the light of your mercy on my heart, remove my worries, remove our difficulties, remove our anxieties, remove our stress, remove our tension. Because that is what happens when Allah sends His mercy. This mercy enters into the heart of that believer. And Allah simply doesn't only remove that sin, Allah removes all the negative consequences and effects of that sin from our heart, from our life. And that's what Allah says in Quran, that the heart begins to remember Allah. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. And only in the remembrance of Allah will heart find that peace and tranquility. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to call upon Him as His Rabb. As our Rabb with this dua, the Rabbi ghafir warham. Well, just imagine, right? If you're worried, you have some difficulty, some tension. And let's say if you're married and instead of going to your wife and discussing the issue with her, you go to your neighbor and try to get comfort from someone else, from your neighbor. Now, your wife will be terrible. She'll be upset with you. That how could you go to someone? Why didn't you confide in me? Why didn't you put this worry on my shoulder? I'm your wife. I want to share this burden with you. We are in this together. So just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also wants us to place our worries on Him, to turn to Him as our Rabb, to say that Allah, You have given us everything, You have fulfilled all our needs, You can overcome all our difficulties. Allah, give me ease where there is difficulty. Allah, give me peace where I'm worried. Give me contentment where I'm depressed. So that's what Allah Ta'ala wants. That in times of difficulty, a person makes this dua, they pray 2 rak'ah, turn to Him in nafil, in dua, and then they place all their worries upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As opposed to what we normally do is that he becomes lonely and he picks up a novel or he starts listening to music or starts watching the TV or starts watching some movie. All of these things are just temporary sources, a temporary escape. And you will find that a person who does these things, they will never be able to get that everlasting peace and contentment and solace in their heart. Why? Because Allah has laid down a golden rule in the Quran that Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. That only and only in the remembrance of Allah will hearts find that peace and tranquility. So we make dua, Allah Rabbi ghafir, Allah forgive us for those things which led us towards that depression and the worries and the tension. Warham, Allah fill the emptiness in my heart. Fill the vacuum in my heart. Fill that void in my heart. Allah erase that worries and depression and replace it with your love and remembrance. And Allah make me feel intimately close to you once again. And then the last thing which there are several, but the last thing we'll mention is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, will give yaqeen to that person. Rabbi ghafir, that Allah forgive my sins. And because of this sin, Allah, whatever doubt and skepticism and shak and shubhat that came into my life, that came into my heart, sometimes these doubts come because of our sins. And these doubts come about our deen, about a relationship with Allah. People start doubting their deen. So we make dua to Allah, Rabbi ghafir, Allah forgive my sins, warham, and out of your mercy, Allah restore me back on my kamil iman. Allah guide me back to conviction and yaqeen and certainty in my heart. Because this iman is very fragile, and we are living in a very in this day and age which is also very fragile. And the Prophet said that there will come a time near the day of judgment that a person, a man or a woman, they will wake up in the morning as a believer, but by the time night comes, they will fall asleep as an unbeliever. So, oh Allah, we are living in that in this zamana, and I've done so many things to jeopardize my iman, to put my iman at risk. Allah, ighfir, forgive me for the sins. Warham, Allah, grant me conviction and certainty in my iman. Preserve my iman. Preserve my yaqeen. Restore the strength of my iman, the power of my iman. Allah, revive my iman. Strengthen and nourish and nurture my iman. Give me the ability to die in a state of iman. And when a person does this, then not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve that person's iman, but Allah ta'ala can also preserve the iman of his children. Allah can safeguard the iman of all of his descendants up till the day of judgment. So these are the four ways through which we should think, we can think about this dua when we say Rabbi ghafir warham. And I'll just end with one last thing. One thing to know, if you want Allah Ta'ala to be forgiving and to be merciful towards us, then Allah Ta'ala has set one condition. One particular, there are many conditions, and one very important condition. One of them is that you must also forgive others. And you must also be merciful towards other people. These days, we are so aware of other people's faults, we don't even notice and comment on the good points of other people. We only notice on their faults. So we have to remember this, that if we, the Prophet ﷺ said that if we are kind and forgiving towards other people, then Allah Ta'ala will also be kind and forgiving towards us. We should try to, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ gave a very golden rule, that accept the excuses of other people so that Allah Ta'ala may accept your excuses. It means now that when we ask Allah Ta'ala this dua, Rabbi ghafir warham, we ask Allah to forgive us, we are really making an excuse. Making excuses to Allah and asking Allah to accept our excuses. So in the same way, we should also accept the excuses of other people. The quality of a believing man and a woman is that they forgive each other. They overlook the faults of other people. They give up sometimes their own rights. In order for Allah to forgive and have mercy, we should also try to adopt and adorn ourselves with this attribute of forgiveness and forbearance. I'll just end with one story. There was a wife who did something very bad to her husband, and it was really bad. And the wife, she knew that my husband could actually leave me because of this crime that I've done. And she was crying, and she felt had remorse in her heart. So the husband, he looked at her and he said that, made a dua to Allah. Said, "Oh Allah, she is your servant. She is your slave, she believes in you, and I forgive her because she is your bandi. She is your servant." And he didn't do anything, he just patched up. Later the husband passed away and someone saw him in a dream. And they saw that Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So he said that, asked him what happened. He said that Allah Ta'ala forgave me for everything, and he forgave me for this very dua that I made to Allah Ta'ala. That I said, "Oh Allah, she is your servant, and I forgive her because she is your servant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me and said that you are my servant. Today I will forgive you." So if we are forgiving towards other people, then Allah ta'ala will also be forgiving and be merciful towards us. In summary, this is a very beautiful dua, very easy three-word dua. We should learn this dua. We should use this dua. It's a beautiful dua that Allah Ta'ala has taught us. And we can now reflect on the beauty of this dua, the deep meaning of this word, of this dua. Rabbi ghafir warham. That, oh Allah, you are our Rabb, you are our sustainer, our nourisher. And Allah, we disobeyed you, but Allah, please forgive us. We are sorry. And oh Allah, have mercy on our heart. Allah, re-enter into our heart. Re-enter into our lives. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq and the ability to act on what was said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. يا الله يا رب كريم. Allah, you are our kind and merciful Rab. Allah, you are our generous and forgiving Lord and Rab. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Rab. You are our Malik. You are our Khalik. You are our Sustainer. You are our Cherisher. You are our Creator. You are our Nurturer. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight and we make the same dua that Ya Allah, you have taught us in the Quran. Ighfir. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all the sins that we have done. Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we remember, for all the sins that we have forgotten, for all the sins that we did with our eyes, all the sins that we did with our ears, for all the sins that we did with any part of our body, any of our limbs, that Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. We come to you, Ya Allah, feeling that remorse and regret in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we present our excuses to you. Allah, we have no excuse to present to you. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us, Ya Allah, without any excuse. Ya Allah, forgive us without any excuse, Ya Allah. Ighfir, Ya Allah, we are sorry for all the sins that we have done, for all the disobedience that we have done, Ya Allah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also say to you, Warham. Ya Allah, we ask you for your special rahmah, for your special mercy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we have done. And Ya Allah, forgive us for all the distance that has come between us and you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove that distance, Ya Allah. Allah, whatever difficulties and tension and stress and anxiety and problems that we have in our life because of our sins, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah to remove that tension, remove those problems and issues from our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah, Allah, to save us from sins, to save us from the gatherings of sin, to save us from the people of sin, to save us, Ya Allah, from the environment of sin. Allah, preserve us, Ya Allah, on this path of Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to shower your rahmah upon our hearts, to remove all the doubts and skepticism from our hearts, to remove all the shak and shubhat from our hearts. Allah, grant us ilmul yaqeen, Aynul Yaqeen, Hakkul Yaqeen. Allah, grant us certainty and conviction in our hearts about Deen. Allah, grant us conviction about every single ayat of the Quran, about every single ta'aleem of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every single hukum of the Deen and the Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us Sharia Sadr about the Deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, open and expand our breast towards this Deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make the makruhat Sharia makruhat tabi'a. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to remove the distance that has come between us and you because of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, draw us close to you. Allah, you have said in Quran, fa'inni kareeb, that you are near to us, kareeb to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also want to feel that qurb. We also want to feel that nearness and closeness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, pull us close towards you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, include our names also amongst the Muqarrabun, the Muqarrabin, the Mahbubin, the Muhibbin, the Muhsinin, the Muttaqin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah to preserve our iman, to fortify and strengthen our iman in the iman of our family members, the iman of our children, the iman of our relatives, the iman of our descendants, the iman of our children to come till Yawmul Qiyamah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are living in this time of fitna. We're living in this time, Ya Allah, with so many tests, so many trials, so many fitnas that are coming from within the Muslim Ummah, that are coming from outside the Muslim Ummah. Allah, we ask you in this testing time, Allah, to preserve our Iman, to safeguard our Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to live a life from this Kamil Iman. And Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to be able to die on this Iman, to be able to be raised up on this in the state of Iman, to die on the kalama on our tongue. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us your special rahmah in this month of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, this is the month of rahmah. This is the month of maghfirah. Ya Allah, this is the first ashra of this month. The first ashra is awwalahu rahmah, is the month, is the first 10 days are the days of rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for your rahmah. We ask you for your mercy. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Cast one glance of mercy upon us tonight. Allah, cast one glance of love and muhabba upon us tonight. Allah, soften our hearts, remove the hardness from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, whatever pious intentions any one of us have in our hearts, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept those du'as, to accept our du'as, to accept our intentions, to accept our desires, to accept our irada that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين